WSAU.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback. It is 7 minutes after 8 a.m. Welcome to the program. 715-845-2155 is the phone number if you would like to be a part of the show. All right. Some weeks back, we had an interesting story. It didn't seem to get a lot of attention, didn't seem to get a lot of hoopla, but it was quite significant. The United States has surpassed all other countries in the world as the leading oil producer. Yes, that means the Middle East as well, and Canada, and Mexico, et cetera, which is a very interesting situation. Now, the question comes in, how did that happen? Huh. Is that a government program? No, it's not. This is private industry doing what they do best. And as a result, what do you know? America leads in something. Now, why is that significant? Well, a new article that was just published in the Telegraph .co in Britain says oil prices have fallen to a 9-month low as surging supply from OPEC and the United States floods the market and fresh demand wilts, leading to what they're calling an oil glut in the Atlantic region. Now, they're expecting that overall oil prices will shift. The article, of course, is geared more for the British and European market. They're hoping to see a bit more of a fall in oil prices than we are seeing, but we will here in the United States. We should experience it as well. But cheaper gas for you and I is not the important part of this. The International Energy Agency, the IEA, actually cut its forecast for the rise in global consumption to just about 1 million barrels a day. Now, that is 1 million barrels per day more than what we have been using. The reason, they say, is because there are close to recession conditions in Europe, and a lot of the world's economy is disappointing. The supply, however, has risen by 300,000 barrels per day beyond what was already planned. And this is having a downward pressure on prices. This is not good news for Russia. Russia is not having a good day with this. Russia depends, a lot of its influence is its supply of crude, its supply of oil. So if oil is increasing from us, the United States, and oil is increasing from the OPEC nations, and prices are falling, this means that other nations have, they don't have to rely on Russia so much. And even if they do, the money coming into Russia begins to falter. Russia's economy is such that, let's face it, the production and distribution and world sale of their oil is about their only income at this time. Falling prices will ratchet up the pressure on Russia, according to this article, which needs a price near $110 a barrel in order to balance its budget. We had reports earlier today that prices are near the $94 a barrel. Aw, Russia having economic problems. Doesn't that suck? While it is a reserve fund, in order to cover any of the shortfalls, this would be depleted fast. If oil falls anywhere near the $80 a barrel, Russia would then be predicted to go into deep recession. Most of Russia's energy revenues come from oil, not from gas. The crisis in Iraq is yet to pose a serious threat to oil exports. However, this could change. It could change. The vast majority of Iraqi supply comes from the Shia-controlled fields in the south. All right, so the question comes in, is this a strategy? Is this an approach to dealing with the Russian aggressiveness? I really wish I could say yes on our part. I truly do, but I don't think so. I think this is an unintended consequence. I have not seen anything from the current administration that promotes private industry ratcheting up oil production, although it does, benefit from it. The opposite has been true. There has been so many rules and regulations and shutdowns of of pipelines and restrictions and of government land for drilling and wildcatting and exploring, that I believe this is an unintended consequence by the Obama administration. I'm just waiting now for the Obama administration, however, to take credit for it. Because if it had been a strategy on the administration's part, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You have to identify when you're faced with a challenge, you're faced with, let's face it, Russia at this point with their aggressive behavior under Vladimir Putin, they're the enemy. Okay, they're not throwing lead at us, but the State Department itself said that we are back in a situation of Cold War as hot as it ever was. So they are a threat. So when you have a threat, what do? You find out what is the weakness of your opponent, and you go after that weakness. Well, their weakness is their economy. And by us producing, becoming the world's leader in oil, we're hitting the Russians right where it counts. And I would not be surprised, I would be encouraged, rather, if our energy department and our Interior Secretary would get together and talk to the OPEC nations and say, look, I know this is going to negatively affect you by pouring out more oil and dropping the price, but we are getting rid of a common enemy. If Russia disrupts the pipelines and so forth that run through the Middle East and run through the Ukraine and run through these areas, it is going to long-term negatively affect the OPEC oil-producing nations. It will have a long-term negative effect. So it would be a boon if it would be an actual plan and a strategy where we coordinated with the Saudis and said, listen, let's cut our profits a little bit. Let's pour it into the market. It'll make a little bit of the world economy happier, cheaper energy. It may boost the economy and boost things around the world. It will hurt Russia, and it'll help us long term. It's a great plan. I just don't see it being one that was truly executed. I see it being, on our part anyway, unintended consequence. All right, when we come back, we got a lot more we want to talk about. I want to talk to you about this guy that has taken a twist on a challenge that's been raising money for Lou Gehrig's disease. He's a North Carolina father that issued a challenge on Facebook that is similar to the ice bucket challenge that I talked about in my commentary. We'll talk about what exactly it is and how refreshing it is to see this in light of recent developments, especially with the rioting and so forth. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'd like to hear from you. 715-845-2155 is the phone number.
Thank you for such a great show.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. 715-845-2155 is the phone number. Let's see if you held on through the break. No, they did not hold on through the break. That's unfortunate. Call now, 715-845-2155, if you would like to air your opinions on this subject. All right, we're going to talk now about the rioting in Ferguson, Missouri, near the St. Louis area. The situation, as you well know, probably came about when a young man, Michael Brown, was shot and killed by a police officer in the Ferguson area, Ferguson, Missouri. Now, the public is saying that Brown was unarmed and that he was gunned down by a white police officer, and this is injustice, and that they're tired of police brutality and something has to be done. Okay, and so in order to express their outrage, some in the community, not all, some in the community have rioted, burning stores, looting, etc., etc. Now, these individuals do not represent those that are upset with the racial tension and upset with what they're considering to be an injustice. These are opportunists. These individuals that are rioting, these individuals that are looting, these are ignorant opportunists that don't care about any of the situations that are going on. They don't care about the police officer. They don't care about the kid that was killed. They don't care about any about it. They care about themselves. They care about causing trouble. And they care about being opportunistic and stealing when they have the opportunity to. They're doing a lot of damage to their community in a lot of different ways. Now, there are some, the family of the kid that was shot, that are very concerned. And they are asking for investigation. As a matter of fact, they even asked Reverend Al Sharpton to show up and voice his opinion. Al ran into a little bit of trouble, however. If you remember, last time we talked about Al Sharpton was when he was basically revealed as being an FBI informant back in the day. And when he shows up in the Ferguson area and says that he wants to address the injustice that has been done, people in the crowd, including a reporter, said, "What, are you here to snitch on the rioters?" Yeah, there was a spray painted on the side of a building, "Snitches get stitches." That clearly is a threat to Al Sharpton. So all of the, having said all of this, there's one point that has not really been highlighted that needs to be. The police are saying that as they were trying to arrest Michael Brown and place him into the car, into the squad car, that he began fighting with the officers and went for an officer's gun. If that's the case, the officer was justified in shooting him. When you go for a gun, you go for the officer's gun, you are threatening his life. You are making the officer, forcing him to make a split-second decision. And you, being the perpetrator, are not going to be happy with the outcome of that decision. All right, let's go to the phones. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Mike.
Good morning, Mike. What can we do for you?
Last night, they did a segment about Obama saying he wasn't responsible for pulling the troops out of Iraq. And they did about 12 or 15 different times where he said, "I pulled them out. I did it. I did it. I did it." Then immediately after that, they brought a Democratic strategist on, and he said, well, he was right when he said that, because the American people who voted for him voted to pull the troops out, not Obama.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. We have a situation where there's a group of individuals that are basically stranded and starving and being held hostage, if you will, by the ISIS group in Iraq, and the United States is considering how they can rescue them. There's thousands of these individuals. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, it's a prime example of the administration that we're under right now, not knowing what they're doing when it comes to foreign policy.
Well, at least George Bush is off the hook. He's blaming the American voters now.
That's true. You can't blame Bush at this point, can you? I think nope. He'll find a way to blame Cheney, though, I'm sure. Thanks, man, for calling in. I appreciate it. Okay, so the situation is that we have civil unrest now in this area of Ferguson. And then you've got Jesse Jackson shows up and says, hey, this is not just in Ferguson. This Ferguson problem is all over the United States. Well, Jesse Jackson is an individual that makes a lot of money by basically strong-arming individuals, threatening them that if they don't donate to his organization, that he will protest and cause a lot of problems for a business, a community, etc. He's an extortionist, in other words. And he comes in and says, this problem is all over. Well, that serves his purposes. If you and I are convinced that this problem is all over, then when he shows up on our doorstep and says, listen, if you don't make a donation, or if you don't do this or you don't do that, we're going to protest because you're racist, it lends credibility to his argument. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson both are basically a laughing stock at this point, and they have no relevance. They have no relevance here at all. The people that are rioting and causing the problems in Ferguson, they don't consider either one of these individuals to be of importance. They don't have a voice for them. They're disconnected, a generation long, long past. So that brings me to the individual on Facebook that I hope will become a man that has a voice and represents those that are upset with the way things are being done. He's a North Carolina father. He issued a Facebook challenge recently to, quote, any real men who are up to the task. He says, I don't really do Facebook videos or anything like that, but I guess since everyone else is doing a challenge, and he's referring to this fundraising challenge that the ALS organization is doing to help raise money for the Lou Gehrig disease. It was the subject of my commentary today. They've raised about $4 million. You challenge somebody, hey, pour ice on your head, and if you don't do it, you got to donate. Well, for some reason, this gimmick has raised a lot of money. Well, this guy says, okay, everybody else is doing the challenges like this. I figured I should do one too. So he posted this video on Facebook, and he said, this is my challenge to anyone who accepts it. See if you can do this. He's seen on camera standing up and then picking up his baby boy. He says, the challenge is this. Be a father. Take care of your kids. Be there in their lives and mean something to them. The video ends with the man kissing his young son on the cheek. His challenge has been seen by about 50,000 people on Facebook, and some of the best responses to the post are other dads, yes, accepting this challenge and posting photos of their own. It's that character that needs to be prevalent in the communities that are having these racial riots. Be a real man. Be an example, not only to your children, but to the rest of your family and to those around you, the friends and family and the people that are around you. Stand up and do what's right. Rioting, looting, and acting like a thug and just a punk-ass criminal, that's cowardice. And you are doing so much harm to the work that great men have done in your community to bridge the gap and to solve the problem of ignorance of racism. But when you behave like this, you give ignorant racists a reason to hate. You're giving them a reason to hate. You're adding to the problem. You're not solving the problem. And you know what? Those that are doing it, they don't care. They don't care. There needs to be justice in this shooting situation. But we don't know all the facts. Did this kid, this 18-year-old kid, reach for the officer's gun? If he did, this is going to be harsh, but if he reached for the officer's gun, he deserved what he got. You do not do that. That is a stupid maneuver, and you are putting the officer's life in jeopardy at that point. And when you do that, you get shot. But was the kid just verbally arguing, mouthing off? If that's the case, then the officer needs to have enough control not to allow a verbal assault to engage him and incite him to using deadly force. Officers need to have much more control over the situation and control of themselves than that. So we don't know what's going on yet. We don't know all the answers. But this cannot be another one-sided circumstance. Justice for Trayvon! Remember that phrase? Well, this cannot be just justice for the kid that got shot. It has to be justice. What happened? Both sides have to be represented. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
The Rush Station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.